Who won't smoke with me? Nigga, who won't smoke with me? Who won't smoke with me? Who won't smoke with me? Who won't smoke with me?
I had to catch a vibe right quick. Welcome back to the No Randoms podcast. You got your host. All three of us are here, starting with your boy Kev.
Your boy Anton.
And it could be your
and
boy.
Sleepy Bear.
J-Vo.
It could be my boys. There he is. Who is that one more time?
Who J-Vo. That is?
J-Vo.
Let's go.
I believe you have an alter ego, an alias. There's a Twitch name we can promote here. We got things to promote.
Yeah. Your boy, Mr. J-Vo on, you know, twitch.com. Check your boy. Starting to stream here.
Spell it.
Oh, that is MRJAYVO at twitch.com. Mr. J-Vo. I believe it's twitch.com /.
You say Mr. J-Vo, it's MRJAYVO. V-O.
Mm-hmm. Let him know. Let him know.
Get this man to, you know what I mean?
I might be 22.
Stuff. Fix this microphone. We got energy in here. We got energy. The Chargers just won. They beat the Browns. It was like 1,000 points to 1,001 points, but we won. So I'm very excited today. We got energy. It's late.
Mm-hmm. Good things are popping. So
Vanton got that. He got the dark era jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the dark days for the Chargers. We don't want to remember that.
But that's how I get the love, because people know. They're like, damn, he knows.
I know,
bro.
Right?
This man wearing the dark jersey.
That, he that's the pain, dark days. Bro. I know. My river's still in the drawer.
He's still claiming those, what was that? Who was that running back? Ryan Matthews? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Claiming the Ryan Matthews days.
Bro. The Ryan Matthews
man,
had
come
like.
Through and clear out.
Bro. He looked the part. He looked
of
the part.
What?
He looked like a great running man, back. When we drafted him, I felt like, you know, he looked the part. The boy just going to hold
the
ball.
I want no running backs from Fresno State University. I'll take Midland State. I'll take the first string and second string from Midland Lutheran College.
Or I'll take,
or I take anybody from.
I'll take undrafted.
I'm not taking nobody from whatever the hell. Fresno State. As soon as I get there.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're
not
that
the
guy.
One, my boy.
I'm getting them out of here.
Dark days. What's going
Dark
on, my
days.
Guys? What's popping this week? What's new with you?
Not much, bro.
Lead us in. This is your lead segment that I didn't tell you is your lead segment. But surprise.
Love it.
Led by Anton. What are y'all playing this week? Except you're supposed to ask us.
Oh, man. Yeah, what are you guys playing this week? And then I'll follow up.
Ooh. Look at he did. He killed that. J-Vo, you go first.
I play the same damn thing every week.
You're still in the Warzone?
Call of Duty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Warzone. Oh, of course. I've been on Warzone. New World. I'm actually diving in a little bit
right.
more. I've got up to level 12, which ain't shit, because there's guys running around level like 37 and 40. So
I've been watching some streams on there, man. That looks pretty interesting. I remember I sent you guys a clip of that big war. I was like, oh, okay. That looks pretty
it's
cool.
just unfortunate because like
I'm intimidated.
I'm in a world by myself on that game, so I don't really have anybody to like kind of run around with. So I'm waiting because apparently, from what I heard, I believe we're going to be able to change worlds here in a couple days, so I'll be able to bring my player over to a different world without having a reset. So I'm
is
just waiting for
world?
That. Pretty much, yeah.
In our terms, is that like going to a new map?
No, not really. It's just a whole new server, pretty much.
Yeah, okay, same thing.
Yeah. But the map, well, I guess the map's the same. Maybe not, I don't know.
Oh, so same map, just new server.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Oh, yeah. so you can cross transfer servers. I see.
Yeah.
Hold
yeah,
on. Well, so when you say
we're
world,
going to be able to here soon.
That's pretty cool. Okay,
because so it's like it'll be a new place inhabited by the same people. Like y'all have a
right. You can go like raid new people, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We used to do that on server.
So the different worlds have different people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like, if there's like a
like, will you be able to?
Go ahead.
To go world to world?
Yeah.
You can go, like, from world to the other world?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know this sounds really basic, but
that's
crazy.
So, like, so for example, like, whenever Ark, so to my example of it, like, whenever Ark drops a new map, usually that map, you can't transfer out of that map to the other, like, servers that they have after, like, 30 to 60 days. After 60 days, then they make the map open because they want it to be exclusive, because normally they'll drop, like, exclusive new, you know, stuff for it or whatever. So then after that opens, then say they have 1,000 servers or something like that. You can then transfer between other maps, but then also servers with that same map, because then, like, we're built on one map, maybe on another server, and somebody's not built there, so we can build there.
So they're just building, like, a multiverse.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you can cross-transfer, and then that's how, like, those war happens. Because, like, say if we're built on a specific part of the map and then we transfer servers and there's, like, another big tribe there, then we all just transfer servers and we just go to war with them and then stuff like that. That's where the PvP fun of, like, that comes in.
No randoms.
Cool. All
right, so, world, yeah, this is coming from, looks like Express. In the UK, it says New World server transfer options are coming, and Amazon has provided the first details. So New World server transfer options are scheduled to go live this week to allow gamers to move for free. So that was the biggest problem when the game first launched is, like, all the worlds were getting taken up.
So that's why,
like,
all of you were queued up, because they only had a certain amount. Okay, that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. So, like, you had to settle. Okay. So you had to settle for, like, some pretty trash worlds, which, unfortunately, I was in one, so now I can go and transfer with my buddies without having to start a whole new character here soon.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's where
so
I've been kind of holding
mean by,
off
like,
on.
By yourself. All right.
Yeah, I'm alone in this world. Like, even if I could partner up with randoms,
like,
and
with
stuff,
you.
But, like,
you want me to play with you?
That's what, like, I mean by it.
Doesn't work that way.
That's like on DayZ, if you transfer servers, it'll just put you, like, it won't put you in the same position, but it'll put you on, like, a random part of the map.
Yeah.
So that's
other
pretty
than
fun.
That, yeah, so this has been New World Warzone for me. I have not played any of the new Far Cry yet.
I was just watching videos on that. That looks good.
Yeah.
Did you cop?
Yeah. I think I'm going to.
No, not yet. No, I've been holding on.
I
want
to do it. Man, there's so many games.
I know. And that's only, like, the Battlefield 2042, which I don't know if we're going to probably dive into that later. But
FIFA
just
came out.
FIFA, it's getting a little tough to play, to figure out what game I want to play. But right now I'm waiting on Far Cry just because I usually jump in too quick on Far Cry games. And a lot of the time it's always repetitive to me. So I'm
this
still not
my
quite
first,
drawn.
This will be my first Far Cry experience. And I've been up on it from the business perspective, right, with Giancarlo promoting it and the storytelling approach they have. So actually one of the deep dives I want us to jump into will be it starts as film, really it's storytelling. So again, we'll do a deep dive, so that'll be fun to play it. So we'll get back to that one and spend some time with Far Cry. I'm looking forward to it, but there's so many things out. Too, like, I want to buy that Metroid game, and I cannot bring myself to spend $60 on, like, a side-scrolling Nintendo game when I've got, like, a backlog of 5 other $60, $70 games. Like, just go play those.
Just got power thrown, man.
What are you playing, Kev?
This week was some experiences. Always Apex, right? So that's my home game, which is dope. I'm hype. Just hit the gold on this split. But like we were just saying, FIFA 22 is out. So that's been also an experience. This was, I don't know why it's my first new FIFA game, but I was so bad in that first Pro Clubs with, like, no attributes or whatever. Oh my gosh. So either way. Playing FIFA and Apex and both of it was, like, back to the grind. Like, I just see trash again, new season. So working on those. And then the fun stuff, which was, like you said, Battlefield. And getting to, like, just never experiencing that. That game was insane.
That was so funny to me to hear you, like, talking about Battlefield like that for the first time. Because, like, we've been playing Battlefield for years now, you know, maybe it's only, what, 4 or 5 and 1 Javon. So, like, I don't know, man, I loved it. It was just hearing you, like, this was a different war experience. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to tell you. Like,
I was blowing up the group chat. I was like, look at this, and I did this. Yo, look at this. All right, I should chill.
No, it's fun, though, man. I love it. Keep it coming. So, yeah, those
yeah. Are... I've been struggling on that game, that Battlefield, when I launched in, just because, like, the vehicles, bro, they're OP. Like, I feel, at least, it's just probably the map, but, like, a part of me kind of wanted it where maybe I didn't have as many vehicles. I don't know. I just felt it was a little OP when it came to the vehicles on this beta.
It feels like the best you could possibly do in that type of, like, scenario. Like, that's kind of what I like about it. Maybe a bit many, But like just that whole feeling of you're running and fighting with some dude and then like over the top is
that chopper gunner
rockets
bro.
And stuff. It makes it feel like war. Like for me, like I don't know, there's a different element and again,
No, you 100
was,
on that.
It was so fun. Like well, there's a couple things that stood out to me, like the one that this makes me think of is like just kind of running through a like a open field or open part of the map. And you're like just running. Maybe there's people by you, but not necessarily on your team. And then you just see another guy like, oh, fuck you. And you start fighting that guy. And while you're shooting that guy, there's the helicopters going over, like that feeling of there's total war going on around you. And it's like, pick a spot, basically. It's like you can jump in with those 10 guys and work together to kill those other 10 guys. Or you can run by yourself and just go look for another random guy. Mm-hmm. You can go sit over there and just like shoot pot shots if you want. Like guys, for a while, it gets kind of boring. It feels like having no experience, like a closer, again, a different war game experience. Like you're in video game war.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I can't wait. Wait until they open up the maps when all of a sudden, you said you experienced a tornado finally, right?
I have not.
Who was that? That's in the game?
Yeah, dude.
Someone said that to our chat, and I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know if that was like a, I don't know. So, I had no clue. I said a few episodes ago that in-game it changes, like, the weather and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll be fighting, and all of a sudden, like, a crazy thunderstorm will just come through, and it'll just completely change the whole map. And then, like a tornado will, like, tear down, like, a few buildings, and so you have to, like, adjust to, like, the gameplay of how the map is changed due to, like, some crazy, you know, weather event that happens. It's so much different, fun, man. Yeah, it's incredible.
That's so much different than like an Apex. Like, I mean, I guess you could be a crazy sweat at Battlefield, but it doesn't really matter. Like, sure, there's so many other people on the map. I'm just gonna go fight and stuff. Like, I don't care if there's like be an Apex Predator all you want. Go over there and kill some other people. I'm over here.
Yeah, we're gonna have some good footage of that when that comes out for sure. That's gonna be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a good week on those games. I don't think I bought anything else. Definitely going to get Metroid. Definitely going to get Far Cry. I played that Avengers game. J-Bo, you said, was on Game Pass.
Oh, yeah.
I made it like 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. That game is so bad.
All superhero games.
I'm sure there's some...
What do you mean bad?
I think it's just not for me. I'm not the type to just like... There's nothing to it. It's not like you're not following the actual Avengers storyline. It's like a new, really bad, like poorly written storyline. Mm-hmm. It's just like, here, be the Hulk. Here, be Iron Man. And like none of the commands make sense. So like all you're doing, again, I only played like, you know, the first 15 minutes of the game, maybe 20. But like all I was doing was learning these specific sets of commands and abilities for the different Avengers. Mm-hmm. That, like, had no logic to it. So I was like, I'm not going to remember how to specifically shoot, like, the laser beam from Iron Man's chest when I did it one time for 3 minutes and then you cycled me to the Hulk. Like, I just felt like I wasn't learning anything. It was just throwing IP at me. Like, this is Avengers. This is Avengers. It was so bad.
Okay. Well, damn.
Don't try
it. It's good to know because I'm hearing, like, the opposite, which it's fine because I was never drawn to that game. Like, like, everything you're explaining sounds like that's what the whole trailer that they showed when they first initially showed off that game was that part, like, them transferring from, like, different characters to different characters, having a little bit of, like, the Thor, then you're watching Iron Man flying over the bridge. I think Black Widow had, like, a one-on-one fight scene when that game first was showed off. But, damn, like, that's good to know because I was curious about that. So, but again,
even this might give you an idea. Like to close it is they like at the beginning they have a choice, like an option you can choose one or the other, it's either a better rendering mode. So like you can either play a beautiful game or you can play like a slightly tougher, like higher speed game. And I was like, wait, isn't that like difficulty? Like I have to pick one or the other. Like what do I?
Yeah,
I don't, it's like so. It explained it like you can have higher speed punches and counters, or you can have beautiful fight scenes and interactions and explosions. And I was like, I don't.
What?
What do you mean? What?
Like, yeah. What do you
mean, one or the other? How hard could that be? I didn't come here. This isn't the movie. So like, I didn't necessarily come here to see it beautifully. But I mean, I do have next gen. Like,
which one did you choose?
I chose the beautiful experience. I thought so, like, if I'm gonna play.
Is that like, mean, I'm not like, playing cinematic it for a challenge, scenes?
To be honest.
Does that just mean more?
Yeah, to make it more. I don't think it was more scenes, though. It, again, it literally said, like, your counter speeds versus, like, how beautiful, like, the explosions and the bullet fire and stuff looks. It was really strange.
So, okay. Those are two weird things I have to choose from playing a game.
Yeah, I wonder if the cinematic way makes it easier. Because you're trying to make it look better.
That's what it said. It said a less challenging experience.
Less challenging. Oh, okay.
So that's why I chose that, because I thought to myself, well, I guess technically I'm not playing this to be chat. Like, I don't think it's going to be hard, so I guess the beautiful one? Like, I don't know, but again, a weird thing to have to choose from.
The only good superhero game I've ever played was Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Consistently, even in, like, 01, remember? The PlayStation 1 Spider-Man game?
Mm-hmm. Actually,
I should not.
Maybe Batman, too. Those Arkham Knights games were pretty tough, but besides that...
It's all right, I get bored.
Besides that, I guess I don't want to go on another 10 minutes. I've been playing the same games.
What'd you play? What? Oh, the same ones?
Yeah. Apex, FIFA, still on 2K, you know, doing...
So no one's played Far Cry?
No, I think I might copy it, actually. I was watching... I followed this dude, Hollow, on YouTube, and I've just been watching a few of his gameplay. Like he has, like, it's split up in, like, parts, you know what I mean? Like, 1 through 6.
Yeah.
So I've just been watching a few of the parts just to see. It looks beautiful, but...
What's the last Far Cry game that either of you've played?
Probably 4.
4? What about you, Kev? None, Kev? Oh, family. None. It's an experience.
4 and 5, maybe.
It's an experience, brother.
It'll be fun.
No, because, like,
I wonder if it's on Game Pass or something. I can go download.
Yeah, I'll probably check it out. But it's an experience, brother. It's.
You want to review it next week, Benton?
Yeah, super nice.
Get John Wickish.
I'll probably end up shopping it, so we'll do it.
We'll do our little 5-minute player pass review next week for Far Cry. No, we don't. All right. That's some of the fun stuff we got updating the podcast. We have more segments. So thank you, Anton, for leading the first one of What Are You Playing This Week? New one that I think will be fun and glad to rotate around is The Best Thing in Gaming This Week. So, Javo, I think you saw this on the list. It looks like Japan launched its first esports team for senior citizens, called the Matagi Snipers.
That's awesome.
So this comes from, right? This comes from Kotaku.com. The 8-person team is Japan's first senior esports professional team and was established as a way to show the health benefits of esports for older adults. Really great timing coming off of our health episode. As well as to impress the grandkids. NHK reports that 21 people applied to join the team, and only 8 made the cut. The hopefuls were selected on their gaming aptitude, even if they weren't necessarily huge gamers or ones at all. Continuing to, like, elevate our points of, like, you don't need to grow up in this or really know. It's never too late to start. So it says here, up until now, I never played video games, said 67-year-old Iba. She added that once she started playing, she felt that gaming was preventative for cognitive impairment, by having her move her hands and eyes together, as well as talking strategy with her teammates while playing, and all of this has helped her keep sharp. What do you think?
I'm just stuck on right now. The ages of the team members range from 66 to 73. That is incredible. Are you kidding me? That's awesome,
the sweats,
man.
Bro. They're
somebody's grandparents out here busting us on Fortnite.
Yeah, is that what they're playing? I was just going to ask. I was like, so it's Counter-Strike, right?
Well, you know, so it looks like and that's what's cool is this isn't the first time this happened, which is exciting. So another article there from The Verge, this one, December 2017, says, sponsored by Lenovo, the Silver Snipers were assembled with the explicit goal of broadening the audience of esports, which typically skews quite young. Go figure. See, the team is coached by a former Counter-Strike pro who, after he retired, started to work as a manager and then was mentoring students. So it says that the Silver Snipers presented an opportunity to take his concepts even further with a brand new demographic. So old people video game teams are like a thing, or esports squads.
And the Silver Snipers, they said the youngest one on that one was 62.
Wow.
Sheesh. I need to see the squad v squad. Like we were saying, I think this is amazing, and silly as it may sound, gaming should be something that, like we're always saying, we begin to take seriously. and consider promoting to our senior citizen community. So I can truly imagine a day where our generation, like all of us, are gray and like moving slower, but absolutely still engaging in the gaming community, which is really exciting. I don't think it's really a question of if this will become a part of the elderly experience, but when.
That's awesome. No, that makes me think of the Black Mirror. Did you see that episode where the elderly people, they like have them go into like a simulation?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's one of the best episodes.
Yeah, where like the episode is them meeting like in a simulation world in like Brazil, and they're like young, but it's all like a gaming simulation, because whenever they're older with like sicknesses or something like that, like they obviously can't go do that, but they have like an online like open world simulation that they created where they can like log in and like be like a younger, you know, version of themselves that they created and go live there essentially.
Spoiler alert, if you didn't watch this,
that's been out for years. If you haven't seen, yeah, right. If you haven't seen that by now, then that's on you.
If you didn't watch Black Mirror in 2018, then
one episode in a few seasons, but you know what I mean? So you saying that is really cool. I think because working in banking, like, you know, I meet a lot of elderly people that, you know, their spouse died or something. And so, you know, if they did kind of have that technological edge, you know, something that they could, you know, kind of get that connection with, or still kind of have some kind of communal feeling, or being able to still talk with whatever their online community is. That's cool, man.
Yeah, it broadens your world up really in a big way. I mean, even for us, right? Like, that's what brings us to get so easy to come together and do something versus like just organizing a call. We would never organize like group calls for all of us to just talk to each other and like hang out. Right. You know, we have to be doing something.
Well, I guess it's not so weird. So we do be playing with the homie's dad, right?
Still?
Yeah, man. Shout out my boy Big Dave. Come on now.
That's funny.
No, that's awesome though, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. Definitely the best thing I saw in gaming this week. And if you get a chance to check out some of those photos, I posted it on our Instagram for sure. But they look really excited. Like they're having a blast. So hopefully we see more of this. Like there should be investments into this. People should be supporting it. Give them some fun stuff to do. I like to do it when I have free time.
Yo, man, teach your grandma how to play Warzone. She might be a good teammate.
She might be a sweat, to be honest.
Right.
So, yeah, we can jump into... Well, yeah, I have a business topic for us that will be nice to start with, and then we'll jump into the roundtable. Sound good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless you have anything else. If you have a sports or a culture topic that you have, we'll jump. Otherwise, I'll go for it.
All right, go ahead. I'll go into it after.
All right, sit tight with me. this comes from TechCrunch.com. So Mark Cuban and Coinbase invest in Eternal, an NFT marketplace for trading Twitch clips.
Mm.
The NFT world is becoming more and more successful at turning internet memories into one big game, with a lot of cash involved, of course. The original Doge image sold for $4 million back in June. The original Pepe comic image sold for $1 million in April. In short, people are becoming meme millionaires. Buying and selling six-figure JPEGs is a weird phenomenon, but in the end, doesn't do a ton to convince the average internet user that NFTs are worth caring about. Eternal wants to turn trading internet history into a game, but it's focused on a very particular slice of the web. Popular clips from game streamers. And a user interface that functions and feels very similar to NBA Top Shot.
No randoms.
Users can buy packs of serialized clips from Eternal's network of game streamers they've partnered with. The marketplace is built by startup Zelos Gaming, helmed by co-founders Jeffrey Tong and Derek Chang. The startup is built up of a pretty wide roster of crypto investment firms and personalities, which I think adds a lot to it. So obviously that's the headline that got us here is like, you know, Mark Cuban. But it's got a bunch of cool backers, Mark Cuban, Coinbase, but also Gary Vee, Dapper Labs, and Arrington Capital, which have invested $4.5 million in its latest funding round. It's very much a top shot for X-type platform at the moment, which is apparent in the site's design. But the team has big ideas for how the platform evolves down the road. Unlike Top Shot, which was able to nab deals with the NBA and Players Association, there are no overarching esports or Twitch equivalent. leaving Eternal destined for a fairly complicated weave of partnerships with streamers and streamer networks designed to ensure they don't take their business elsewhere. The startup says they're largely focused on popular streamers operating in the top 0.05% of Twitch. Streamers can sell top clips, which are conveniently already tracked by platforms like Twitch, as well as videos from their social media, immortalizing the moments on the blockchain. The company hopes that by pairing up-and-coming streamers with a more established group of personalities, they can bring awareness to more creators and help build a network of users that own a piece of them and have a vested interest in their success. So quickly, before we kind of dive in a little bit deeper, NBA Top Shot is, again, it's blockchain technology, right? So it's NFTs of moments from games, right? So like, think like, you know, the game six, I think it was, Block, when LeBron blocks Draymond Green or Iguodala, whoever that is, against the backboard, like changes the game. You can literally buy that moment, right? So they have, there's like little ones that also, there's a whole trading platform for it. If you want to, go check out topshot.com right now. But that's what these, you know, the NFT market is into right now, again, is minting not only like creations, but moments of time. Like you can own a moment. So in the old days where they were like, you could get a poster, remember they call it getting postered because they'd make a poster of the great moments. You can now literally buy and sell and own that piece of NBA history. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to finish to be like, wow, what? NFTs are
right, and they want to do the same thing. Right, and they want to do the same thing for Twitch. So this is something that is interesting, but just a point I found here from what they're saying about the NBA from hoopshype.com. The NBA and NBPA have a revenue sharing agreement with Top Shot. So for every single moment that's transacted there, there's a 5% seller's fee. That 5% is revenue shared between Top Shot, the NBA, and the National Basketball Players Association. When a player's moment is sold, the cut is divided across the entire league and not just to that specific player. As a result, there's no direct financial incentive to the players other than viewing Top Shot moments as investments like the rest of us. That's crazy to me. It just is like they make money from Top Shot and they throw the money into the whole league and they split it up evenly. So if I'm LeBron, I don't get to own my moment, but I can't profit off of what I did. Like, we all are in it together.
I'm happy you said that because I was going to ask that. I was like, wait, so then what happens if you're the one that does it? Who owns it?
It's like, apparently it doesn't matter. You don't get anything. Like, they all own it together.
That's
the big differentiator, right? And what makes it's got to open up all kinds of things, because that's what's exciting about this, right? Is you get, there's incentives to do things and perform and to be present, and you don't have to, like, it has, you can own your own abilities, right? And here's another thing that's really key to this. A big selling point of the platform is that it will live outside the Ethereum ecosystem and trade in US dollars, meaning it can approach what is potentially a much larger consumer base. So you won't even have to understand blockchain, NFTs, or even have a digital wallet or Ethereum. Like, regular people that are into Twitch and understand internet culture, I could imagine kids that are into Twitch and streaming culture asking for these for Christmas. Isn't that nuts? Imagine a kid asking for an investment. It's just like trading cards, like baseball cards, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, essentially, like an active moment,
like trading way card. Why does it feels like more of an investment than baseball cards? Doesn't it feel more real?
It's like the new age holographic cards. You know what I mean?
Beanie Babies.
No, that's, I guess I should have seen that coming, but that's just, I just try to think from like being an athlete standpoint. You're out here balling out and everyone is just loving you because you're making them a bunch of money with your moments.
And I got to share with the, 12th man on the roster. And I'm like, hold on. I'm LeBron. I've been here for 20 years. Why do I have to share with him?
Yeah, that's a wild.
This is also cool though. Yeah. Coming from the Twitch angle, I think, does this open the door for minting on other social media channels, right? So like this is like conspiracy theory, Kev, but also just like excited for the sports. So like, from the Twitch perspective, what's to stop us now from like minting YouTube videos, right? Or like Instagram posts, like pictures. I mean, like we could do that technically, couldn't we? So I couldn't if Ronaldo like Messi's first post with PSG, that one that was like the crazy most liked post, or Ronaldo after that with Manchester United. Could he then like, if he posted the photo on his Instagram is like happy to be a Red or whatever, and it's the most liked photo ever. Could he mint and sell that, and then they like now it can exist in a museum as the most liked photo on Instagram, and somebody can own it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that'd be insane.
I think that's the world we live in, like right now.
That's kind of scary. I mean, not that scary, but I don't know. That it's just like, I mean, what really matters, you know? And not to be like the one, but like with those things, I've always wondered, like, and maybe I don't know if one of you guys can answer it, but like, what just stops somebody from recording that? Like, how do you own the rights to that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is there like technology that stops people from doing that? Or if somebody obviously like puts it out there, then you can go after and sue them, right? Because like you have imaging, like ownage, like owning to it. You know what I mean?
This is going to be a dumb fun podcast. We'll do a deep dive on blockchain technology.
Okay.
Like how exactly that works. It won't even be long. I was getting ready to answer it now, and I'm like, that'll be a fun one. Let's do a deep dive on that.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know. I hate to be, but that's always my thing with that, or what I was thinking. Like, well, what's just stopping me from screen recording that, and then?
Well, so here, like the quick idea without doing the deep dive. Without doing the deep dive, so like imagine you have the Mona Lisa. I own the original Mona Lisa, mm-hmm. and someone's like, well, what's to stop me from taking a picture of it? Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's not the Mona Lisa. It's not the value of the Mona Lisa is not just in being able to see it. Right. The value is in having a piece of Da Vinci's work. Like the original piece is of more than the aesthetics. Right. Like the Sistine Chapel is worth more than just how beautiful the painting is. It also is the Sistine Chapel. Right. It's from Michelangelo, the et cetera, et cetera. Or maybe that's Da Vinci as well. But that's my point there. So like even if you copy it, it's not the real one. What's so special about NFTs and blockchain is it now provides us a method through which we can verify the original or the real digital copy of something, right? So but again, before it's like, well, why can't I just copy your MP3 and share it? Well, it's not just about hearing the song. You don't own the original. And now we can actually track which one is the original.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So since you own it, then if it's online, then it's not too hard to trace because obviously you own it and you're not putting it out there.
Right, like if you own it, but now that makes it so that you can trade it, right? So imagine if you had, but like if I was the first person on site to take a picture of something that's not bad. I can't think of anything that's not like a disaster. I'm the first person to take a picture of like this tornado, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody wants that picture of the tornado. Maybe there's like a cow flying in the tornado. And everybody wants that photo. It's like, but how do we prove who has the first one? This allows us to prove really where it came from. But again, we'll do a deep dive to make it make sense.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're looking at us kind of crazy. What the fuck is that? That's all I'm getting from you right now.
Bro, I hate to be like basic about it, but like, well, because like to me, it's like, I mean, that like that sounds cool with everything, but then also like the argument is like, I mean, with our ADD generation, like who's to say like, okay, well, I already saw it, so who cares if I want to own it? You know what I mean? Like if you just want to see something, then, and I'm not saying it's like argue with you, like, but I'm just wondering like, how does that raise the value in like a clip of something? If, well, we all saw the goal, we were watching it. Yeah, you may own the clip, which is cool. You could watch it for the rest of your life, but we've already seen it. Unless he can go by owning it and saying like, no, you put that out? No, you don't own that. Stop that. You know what I mean? And like sues everybody that puts it online. It's like, if you only want to see it, then you have to come to me to see it. Then I understand and I can say, like, okay, then I can understand the value in that. But like, unless you don't have the power to like strong arm everybody on the internet to like, no, I'm the only way that you can see this. And if you put it out, then I can sue you. Then to me, it's like, I don't really care if you're on there. You know, not. Like I've already seen it, though.
But then, like, so, like, I'm trying to think, like, you know the funny Michael Jackson popcorn guy gif, mm-hmm. right? You're talking about? Yeah. So, like, Michael Jackson and his estate don't own that, but we use it, mm-hmm. right? This makes it possible for someone to own that. So even, like, just like we're using music, you can still use it. Like, people can still use the things. You can view my content. You can use it. You can enjoy it. But it's mine. So imagine if you could, if like I sent you that GIF and you're like, oh, hey, you used my GIF. Like, what? How do you, what do you mean it's yours? Not yours. The internet owns this. And you're like, no, I own it. Here's the receipt.
Right.
You literally own it. So again, it's just like the Mona Lisa. It's like, well, I could Google a picture of the Mona Lisa right now. I can see it. Anybody can see it.
But I'm making royalties
on that.
But people
still go to the Louvre. Well, and like, and even if you're not making the money on it, somebody owns it. And there are people that collect art. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause there are people that think it's valuable to own. Even if we're not trading in that, there are people that think it's valuable to own that. Just like, you know, these different logos, people can trade in those values. There is someone that owns it.
I'm thinking too small. Okay, so what if you had, like, every goal from, like, every World Cup or something like that? And then you made it, like, a digital album or something like that. And then you sell, like, a digital album goal from every World Cup per, you know, I don't know. Okay, I'm just, for example.
Let me see if I can give you a good example. So, like, I'm always so negative. I'm trying to think of something that's really good. Kai Havertz scores that goal against City to win the Champions League, right? So if you're a super Chelsea fan, now you have the ability to actually literally own that moment. So I mean, even if you're not creating and getting money off of it, you know, I think super wealthy football fans, right? And so they're here, and just like they do with jerseys, right? This is a really good example. It's like, well, why do I care if you have the signed jersey? Like, oh, it's like, no, this is the jersey from Justin Herbert's first game. And you're like, yeah, I have a Justin Herbert jersey too, man. Like, I can get one too. And you're like, no, this is from his first game. He went on to be an incredible quarterback, and he ended up being this legendary guy. And I got that from his first game before we even knew he was going to be that. And so it's like, well, why is that? I have one too. No, there is value there. And it's like, well, yes, it is made up. For what, to answer your question, like, well, yeah, it's made up. The value in the Mona Lisa, the value in the Sistine Chapel, and the value in an autographed jersey, it only matters if you care.
Right.
Like, it only matters to other people. But same thing for these moments. So again, if you're a super Chelsea fan, maybe in 30 years, maybe Chelsea never wins another Champions League. Mm-hmm. And 40 years from now, you could literally purchase or sell, just like people do with paintings and stuff. It's like, what's the value in that? You can only sell it if somebody wants to buy it.
Art.
But it's a whole new world. It's just crazy. So
digital art.
That's my best thing. That's my business story from gaming this week. And it's really exciting, but it's coming to Twitch. So we'll see what those moments are like.
That's cool.
For instance, that one with like Ninja and Travis Scott and all them fools.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you that moment is worth a ton of money because it changed culture.
Oh, with Drake and Ninja in them?
That one that made Fortnite cool.
Yeah.
Somebody's able to. Oh, but that's what's really special about this is now it's not like somebody and then all of Twitch streamers get it. Like Ninja and Travis, like those guys own their own moment, and they get to at least you have a shot at owning your own time. Like, you know what I mean?
That's cool.
At least you could have a chance to own your own IP. So it's really special. I think it's going to get deeper and deeper, and it's the first of maybe many dominoes to fall.
I own all of Jake Paul fights.
All Jake Paul shenanigans.
No, that's cool though, man. That's what's
fun. Love it. You guys got the topic list? You want to jump around? It's in no particular order, so we can jump around however you like.
You know, I've just been I've been trying to see what's really been going on culturally, and really besides some releases, we're just kind of like in an in between. I feel like, you know, I've been watching the ALGS the ALCS ALC ALCGY for Apex, have you guys been watching that?
That's the Apex Legends something championship.
Yeah, it's thing, like, right? the best of the best, basically. Yeah, I'd be watching those streams and like some other stuff, but I mean, really, I feel like that's the biggest, at least in my scope, that's been going on, besides the Battlefield release.
You know what I was thinking might be actually a decent culture. It's kind of silly, but like culturally. Did you guys see this Jimmy Tatro is making that esports?
Dude, I love him.
Documentary?
Dude. Mm-mm.
I remember you guys joking about him. So quickly here, right? From entertainmentweekly.com, American Vandal creators Tony Yacenda and Dan Peralt, it's one of those guys, Jimmy Tatro, have returned and they have a brand new mockumentary series. Instead of comically exploring the case of the Phantom penis graffiti, or the incident with the turd burglar, which were the topics of the two seasons of American Vandal, they will now lampoon the world of esports. The documentary-style series is called Players, and it will follow a fictional pro League of Legends esports team as they pursue their first championship after years of close calls. The team's 17-year-old rookie prodigy and 27-year-old veteran gamer will have to put aside their egos in order to work together if they have any hope of winning it all. What do you think?
I promise you that's going to be hilarious. I promise.
I don't know
you,
anything. This is the, I don't know this guy.
If you've never watched Real Bros of Simi Valley, oh my god, dude, that show is hilarious.
I know Simi Valley, but I've never seen it.
Oh my
god, this is the baby thing you guys talk about.
Yeah, dude. When the guy talks about squaring up with the baby and all of that, yeah, bro, you have to. I'll send you the link for it. Yeah, I mean, I've been watching Jimmy Tetro since Vine, dude. I mean, from way back in the day, and then he got a show through Facebook. And then now, I mean, he's just been doing movies and shows and stuff like that. But no, I'm hyped for this. That should be pretty funny because he, I feel like he has a good way of like tapping into like, you know what I mean? I think that's why like the Simi Bro show is so funny because like I mean, growing up in East County, bro, I mean, it's different from Simi Valley, but like we know people like that. You know what I mean? Like people that live at home.
I think that's what. Well, that's what's so funny about it. Again, like culture, it's culturally relevant. So like seeing like that obviously was something that resonated with us and we understood it. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like gaming and esports is becoming big enough that he's like, this is the next thing to make fun of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
true. Yeah. I think it's big enough that we're all like, yeah, I know some bros and yeah, I know some esports guys or some gaming guys. Maybe that's us for some of our friends, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be so funny, dude. He's going to be some wash gamer thinking he's tight, just talking shit to a bunch of young gamers who like probably pull somebody's headset out their console or something. Like, oh, man, it's going to be funny. I can't wait for that.
I high-key think that's going to be really funny.
If you...
Like, it sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, if you know his humor, then it's... oh, man.
For me, it's just like the gaming aspect, I think, because like I'm ready to laugh at some like League of Legends esports guy. Like, don't get me wrong, I love it and I want to promote all types of gaming, but also I'm like, nah, I'm not one of those guys. Like,
right.
So I'd like to, that sounds funny to me. I'm sure they'll do some extremes.
I think of when you're at that Call of Duty tournament and you've seen Doc and you're like, who's that guy? And I was like, bro, you saw the 2-time?
I think about that all the time. J-Bo, have I told you that story?
No.
I was in I'm in LA for a different work thing and X, shout out Xavier, right? The god, the goat, at FaZe Clan. He's their head of marketing and just like one of my OGs from the music industry. But he was there and he saw, I think on my Instagram maybe, that I was in town and he was like, Kev, you gotta come through. We're having the like Call of Duty World Championships tomorrow at UCLA. You got to see what we're doing. And this is when I'm like, I think gaming is like competitive gaming is cool, but I don't really know a ton about it. You know, I'm still more of like an us gamer. So he's telling me and like, it's actually really cool. Shout out to Annie and Allison, like just my homies and also OGs at Adidas that they were like, Kev, you should do this. So they weren't like my bosses, but they like significantly outranked me. Either way, they pushed me and decided like, you should stay a day. We'll add another room to your hotel or another hotel room night. Stay to your reservation, stay in LA. We're going to go back to Portland, but you stay here and do your thing tomorrow. It should be worth it. So I got to go and check out again back at UCLA, the very first esport experience. And it was insane. Like I had no idea what to expect and it was insane and so much fun. So I'm like chatting the guys up on the way in and the very first, like I got there wild late, obviously, cause I had no clue what to do. And I end up walking in with this weird 6-foot-tall dork that's in full cosplay. And I'm like, look at this fucking, like, 6-foot-tall, like 6'8". I'm like, look at this fucking guy. So I'm taking pictures like, ah, look at this dork. Like, I'm going to go to this esports thing. This is a nerd. He's wearing a headset to this. Is that what they're like in there? They're going to be wearing headsets. And what if I want a dork? And I'm like walking in behind him and X comes to like slide us through security. And I'm like, oh, okay. He must know those people. So we like slide through and we're walking in and we go right past the FaZe booth. And this guy keeps on walking into the broadcaster's booth. And I was like, oh. And then the whole stadium goes nuts. It's like, ah, oh, we got the 2-time. Doc's here. And I was like, who is this guy? So, yeah, my first esport experience or whatever, I legit ran into Dr. Disrespect and thought he was such a dork. Now I think he's the man.
Never get over that.
Cool, dude. Like, to even have that happen to be like a story, it'd be cool if you get to meet him one day.
Right. Like now, bro. I saw him like, on like
I had no idea who you were, and I was standing right next to you, and then just get to that, like get to experience that, like, yeah, That's pretty cool. That's
a pretty funny story. See him, like, I don't know if you guys saw in the NBA Finals with the Suns, he was there in that one picture. They had, like, this cool picture of all these famous people. Like, ah, oh, Kevin Hart's Super here. Bowl like, too. And who's this guy?
Yeah, he was at the all Super the games. Bowl.
Like, yo. Yeah, see, he's like, it's becoming like a thing, too. So, yeah, that was fun. And the guys were laughing at me a little bit.
Shout out to Two-Time.
It's been a fun learning experience, right? I don't know.
That's funny, man.
Yeah. Dave, you want to pick a topic? We got a good amount.
What about that for Warzone final season, homie? What's up with that? What you going to do now?
Ooh.
Nothing.
I'm going to have to kick that. Let's see. Warzone final season on Verdansk. So check the... Here we go. Warzone season 6 will be the end of the Verdansk map. This comes from charlieintel.com. It says, Raven Software has confirmed that Warzone Season 6 will be the last time players will be in Verdansk, with the classic map being replaced. For over a year, Call of Duty Warzone has taken place on the same map, Verdansk. With each new season, the face of the map has seen minor and significant changes, from bombs being dropped to POIs caving in. Verdansk looks a lot different than it once was. However, it has also retained a lot of the same features. Because of this, players have been asking for a brand new map for the better part of a year. Even the addition of Rebirth Island did not satisfy the need for a new map. So recently, Raven Software revealed a brand new map coming to Warzone with the integration of Call of Duty Vanguard. But with Warzone's massive file size, players wondered how they could squeeze a second map into this like package. It sounds like they won't. They're going to get rid of Verdansk, and we're going to go with this new map. What do we think? J-Bo, you got thoughts? You know it best.
I think they're going to buckle up, buckaroo, because Battlefield's around the corner. Right now...
You think they're in trouble?
Yeah. Bro, this game's dead to me. Once Battlefield...
Really?
Yeah, man. Like I... okay... I'm a Call of Duty hater. The only reason I play this game is because of Warzone. They were the first ones to introduce what was it before it was called Warzone? It was like the first battle royale.
Blackout.
Okay. When Blackout was first announced, that was like the first, like when battle royales were starting to be cool. Why did I like it? Because it's modern setting, right? Apex was cool because it was like one of the first battle royales besides Fortnite, but that was like, you know, just the gunplay first person, right? Awesome. What happened? It got me out of that fantasy world that your boy hates on, right? And put me into the modern setting, which is this Call of Duty Warzone. So I ran to it when Blackout came out. Blackout was awesome. That was a lot of fun. Battlefield was still caught on a time machine, and they were still like on World War One when it came to their game and weapons. So when they tried to finally hop on a battle royale side, it was just dead. Like, again, we were just going backwards. So, to me, I think this right here, they're buckling up again because Battlefield is right around the corner. I'm be honest, man. I can care less about any of this shit. Like, I play the game to try to get dubs. I don't play the game to rank up my weapons. I don't play any of that multiplayer. The map, I'm not tripping on the map. I mean, we can get a new map. That'd be cool. Not gonna lie, like everybody likes something different. But
when that's not 100 gigs.
Yeah, but other than that, man, like I can care less. I think it's a little too late, in my opinion. Like, it's just weird that you want to announce this right when we're about to have like one of the most anticipated drops right around the corner.
You think it's because of the new Call of Duty? What's that new one?
Vanguard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I care less too. That game's don't seem any. I mean, the campaign's gonna be cool. Like Call of Duty has one of the best campaigns in my opinion. But I'm not a fan of the multiplayer. I'm a battle royale guy and I'm a Battlefield guy, and so.
Sorry.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, bro. They're like.
And sorry, Kevin, just also, man, like, they're, you know, I hate that. I tried to play with my brother earlier in Warzone, and, like, he's getting kicked every launch, and he's on Xbox, so sounds like this update needs to get fixed.
All I hear is the cheaters, too. The mad cheaters, right?
Anti-cheat. Yeah. I mean, I think...
You know, I was part of the initial wave, like, when it first came out, and everybody was playing, you know, for a couple months there, but I've been off for Apex has always been my thing, and it's been nice to see community start to come over to the game and be like, this game is better. And you know, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been telling y'all this is the best like battle royale. If you're gonna play, the best first person is Apex. But so weird how Call of Duty is simultaneously like the standard and like nobody likes it.
Right. There's so much hate that comes out of it. But don't get me wrong, I would still love to play with you guys. But
yeah, well, I'm sure we will, and I'll definitely get the campaign.
I know we got Vanguard for
right,
sure.
What else?
So we'll,
yeah, I'll end up playing that.
I think Shadow already copped it, so we'll be
I can tackle this. It looks like what is this? This GTA?
I got a. Oh yeah, you want to do? Did you see the notes? If you want to read it, otherwise I got notes out for it.
That definitive series.
I can put them notes up there for you. Let me drop it in there for you. Yeah, that definitive series.
I don't know.
Or if you scroll,
that's gonna be so crazy, brother.
I got you. Actually, here goes.
Yeah, this is gonna be amazing.
Take it away.
Where'd you put it? Discord? Where is this at?
Should be number 10, right where you were in the notes.
Number 10. Oh my guy, you're awesome.
Check it out. There's a headline here, so you want to just read that guy and say where you got it from. Go through. This is a good spot to pause here, and then there's a second one to come through.
All right. So GTA Trilogy Remastered, the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, is getting remastered for PC, and consoles, including Nintendo Switch. What? Does it go along with y'all Bluetooth? Too bad you'll be talking to yourself. You know, anyway, yeah. So this
I'm gonna play San Andreas on the plane. All right, look at this man being a hater. Right,
so this is coming from the Verge, Verge.com. After several rumors, Rockstar Games has confirmed that Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas are getting HD remasters. They'll be released in package called Grand Theft Auto: The Trilogy, the Definitive Edition. The collection is coming to PC via Rockstar Games Launcher, PlayStation, Xbox, and more, surprisingly, the Nintendo Switch will also host them. It will come to iOS and Android in the first half of 2022. Pricing and release date info has not been shared yet. Do you guys have a good guess you think this would be? Price point?
What do you guys?
Console?
60 for all three? 60 for all three. Like a full price game for... Well, hold on.
I'm going
60 to 100.
I'm thinking Switch.
I'm
going
to get mine. Go ahead.
I was thinking.
So what else? Are you going
for
60
Switch,
still?
$60. I didn't think about on PlayStation. If it's PS5 remaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, 99.
Oh, you got to go up, right? So you're going 99? I think 99. The highest will be, I'm going to go $79.99. And I think that'll be on console. On PC. I guess I would give it the same price.
What PC games cost? What PC games cost?
The same. $59.99. Yeah, the same price.
I just found out PS5 games are $70.
No,
I
PS5,
just found that out this week.
No, PC games, brand new, I believe it's $59.99. Let me go ahead and just give... Let me just,
do y'all remember...
Jump the gun, brother. Let me check really quick.
Remember when they were $25?
Oh my god, dude. Yeah.
PlayStation 1 games were $25. And then when they went up to $50, I was like, $50 for a video game? What, the console cost $200, and now they're it's just crazy. Whatever, it's worth it. Charge whatever you want. I'm paying it.
Right, but yeah, I'm trying to look to see what Far Cry 6 is going for on PC. I can't even get it. Looks like I would have to go through Ubisoft to buy that game. So I'm gonna go with this $59.99.
Shit. Whatever. Still gonna pay it.
But still, yeah, I'm gonna pay it. I'm pretty excited for it. Let's see here. It says the company hasn't explicitly mentioned
explicitly
what kind of technical improvements were made. So again, we're talking about Rockstar here. Nor has it shared any footage yet. But it says that each of the games has gotten across the board upgrades, including graphical improvements and modern gameplay enhancements. The company chose to take the faithful route for its remasters, leaving the classic look and feel of the originals, how they were presented back on PS2. So this This is pretty exciting,
bro. Boxing in Vice City?
Dude, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to go. $80 for all three? And you're going the remasters?
Well, I mean, here in that, for that part there, right, where it says that the enhancements are going to be like look and feel of original, that's where I'm stuck. Is like, if they really give it a facelift, then yeah, they should charge a little bit. But if they don't give it a facelift, what are you doing? Like, oh my God, give me GTA 6. Like, I don't care. I played, I have all these games. I had these games on my MacBook in college. Like, okay, these are great. I love them. I played them when I was 12 and 20 and 30. Give me the new game. So bro, I don't know.
I'm no.
It's cool, I guess.
Let it out. Let it out. I mean, when you put it like that, dog, 100, because, yeah.
That is frustrating.
Especially when, you know, try to come out hot about, like, over, I think over $60, bro, is too much.
Pretty sure I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5 since my PS3, so.
That's, like, as old as my kid, bro.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's a play to get more funding. I don't really know what's going on with Rockstar. But, I mean, if GTA 6 isn't incredible, I don't really know what to say at this point. Hey, we're just going to keep selling you the same game for multiple consoles, all re-rendered, the same game as you've been playing for 20 years. You want that new one? Hey, guess what? We're going to give you a game from 10 years ago that looks like this new one. And we're going to charge you, even though you've been playing this game for 15 years. And guess what? The last game that you've been playing for the last two consoles, we gave it a facelift, so you can go ahead and pay to get that upgraded, too. Like, I hate to sound like a hater, because I do love the games, but it's like, come on now, man. Like you said, like, where's GTA 6, like, already? Like,
no, I'm out. Like, I gotta be out on that. I don't even really be playing GTA 5 like that. I just...
Come out.
Can't. Come on now.
let's see. There's some other good stuff. Which one did I see that I liked a lot? This one's easy and short. Sporting Kansas City and the KC Pioneers. You guys see this? Let's see. Number 13 on the topic list. To launch unique esports experiences and events for sporting players, fans, and EMLS athletes, Sporting Kansas City and the Kansas City Pioneers, their esports club, have linked up. It sounds like through this unique collaboration, this is from sportingkc.com. Through this unique collaboration, Sporting and KC Pioneers will elevate sports and foster an inclusive playing environment by launching fan-friendly promotions and a wide variety of programming for players of all ages and skill levels. Sporting will support several of the Pioneers' leading esports endeavors while also leveraging the organization's experience to create new and compelling content around the club's EMLS athletes, competitions, and events. Right, so this is in Kansas City. It sounds pretty cool. Like, we get it. You should be partnering with esports. This is where it took me, and the reason I have it included here. So the question I have for you guys is, do we think this could make a major impact on, like, home team affiliation? Right, so the way I imagine it, and you know, us being from San Diego, we happen to be wearing Chargers jerseys right now, even though they left. It was sometimes tough to get people to, like, care about the Chargers. You know, even from San Diego, because they're just, people come to San Diego for so many reasons, and there's so many Raiders fans and so many Cowboys fans from the 90s, and there's so many reasons to be Patriots fans because they were so good. So when I look at this, I'm like, huh, I wonder how, like, if it would have made a big impact if I had an opportunity or a reason to engage with the Chargers. And if there was, like, if there was a way or a setting to play Madden, like, within their organization, I would have been there, right? Would that have worked for you?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm thinking, or where I'm thinking it could go is, it starts to really genuinely give you a way to build with youth, which is where you need to start. It starts to give you an opportunity to build in, like, affinity and love for the team.
No randoms.
So yeah, either way, exciting. I think, and if I was in KC and I had a kid and I cared about, Sporting KC or even about getting them into soccer, but again, to build that affiliation with the home team. And I think that's where other organizations start to think about this, right? It's like, imagine if I'm a baseball team, baseball's boring. If I'm a basketball team in a city and I know there are, you know, X amount of youth basketball players in the city, I want every single one of them to be fans of the organization. And we know that's not happening, right? And it's like, we can only you can only engage so and so much, like we talk about, with actual games, like AAU or you have to, like we talked about in our health and in our sports episode, you got to have two legs that work. You got to have enough money to buy sneakers and transportation to get you to the basketball gym. Even if you work for, you know, the Lakers and you can create the best program and it's free and you have the settings and all the time and the best coaches to engage community, but it's still so hard to get there. So this opens up such a route for the organizations to start and engage with the youth and the community. And that's when you start to build, right? Like we are an affinity and affiliation with the team. And again, it stays with you for life. So it ends up being really good business for these brands to, or these specifically sporting organizations, to engage in esports.
That is interesting. Yeah. Cause I almost think of it's like a digital, like when you were talking about, I was thinking of like the academies, like in England or, you know, like in Europe that they have for like soccer. I think that the kids at a mm-hmm. younger age, but I mean, you know, I'm sure they could obviously get an input in playing too, but then, like the mental repetition, I mean, the exposure as well. And then, you know, I mean, growing up with the team, you practice with them, you play with them. Yeah, that would be, I mean, that's cool.
Well, and that's what I think is important and cool about this as well, right? Is it gives them the opportunity to start and engage outside of just like, again, physically playing the sport is more difficult than it sometimes sounds. So like, it's mm-hmm. great to have the academy, but when you want to just engage with the community, how do you, like, you know, how many fields would it take? And everybody has to have boots and everybody, and it's right. like, but boys are playing the girls. How do you make it level playing field versus like, hey, everybody who has FIFA at home, we're going to have a branded tournament this weekend with prizes that don't go to just the best players. You get prizes for showing up and, you know, things like that, or random teams.
Yeah.
However you're doing it, it just gives you an opportunity to start to engage in the setting of your sport. Because everything you do, if you're, you know, getting a basketball team, it has to be within the setting. You don't just throw a party and be like, this is a Lakers party. It's got to be about basketball, right? But 2K gives you that. Now we're doing basketball, but we're enjoying it. You could show up and play a quick 2K game and have drinks and talk at the party and mingle. And you know what I mean? You couldn't show up and like run a 5-on-5 and talk and mingle and have champagne. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I would never do that. So even if it's not kids, now that I'm thinking further outside the box, even if it's not children, what if it's us, right? Yeah. Like if the Chargers want to have an event for us on like a Tuesday night. You guys don't play on Tuesday night. Like, what are we going to watch, film? Or like, just watch? I don't want to, I love Justin Herbert. I don't want to see him like up on, what are you going to do? To perform? Yeah. Sure. Make it about Madden. Come play some games. We'll do prizes. We'll have some Chargers players there, play with them, et cetera, et cetera. It gives you something to do and it's a reason to gather. And it's, again, it's all around the sport of football. You can still engage in football culture together. So that's, I'm excited, you know,
That's true. Thinking that, especially like for us as like soccer fans too. Imagine if they get on that for clubs, and we could do that like with the teams like across the world and stuff. Yeah, because I mean it strengthens that like personal touch with the community as well. I think of. Dang.
Bro, what if you could pull up like remember Qualcomm? What if you could pull up like say you have to sign up ahead of time, free to sign up, right? And you get to pull up to Qualcomm before the game, and if your team gets into the tournament, like say it's like your squad, you're playing pro clubs, right? Your squad plays through a tournament. Maybe it's 2-3 hour tournament. Winner gets tickets to the game, box seats, or some, or even just front row seats, not box that are expensive. That'd you just cool. get tickets to the game. I would be there every week. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to get an extra 1,000 people to engage, trying to come to the game, and an extra 100 to show up. Right. And all this is just for the chance. And I wouldn't even be upset if I got to go play a Madden tournament on the Jumbotron and I lost. Like, oh, well, that's cool. We still got to go in our Chargers jerseys. We did it with a bunch of Chargers people, right? It was a Chargers themed. That would be an awesome experience for me. And I leave being a bigger Chargers fan than I was when I got there.
Mm-hmm. Does that bring in right? new fans?
I think maybe not. Well, I think yes. And maybe it's not even brand new sports fans. But even think of like, so like Shad, our friend, like Shad, mm-hmm. who started to learn American, you know, basketball and American football through the sports. I think someone like Shad's not going to a game. But now we're going to bring him with us as our fourth because we need our fourth to play. And he's been learning through us, right? So now there's new people coming to the – just to even to be there. So I think so. Also, I think, it, again, as you're becoming a bigger fan, that's a good chance I just buy tickets to go anyways. You know? I do think it starts to open up new experiences. Even think about – not to zoom too far out, but think about why you're a Chargers fan. So for me, it's like being a little kid and going with my brothers and stuff. Even if my brothers couldn't go to the game, even if I was just like 9, 10, 11, 12, going with them to Madden tournaments at Qualcomm with a bunch of Chargers fans, being around that tailgate experience,
yeah,
I'll probably grow up being a Chargers fan. And then, you know, 25 years later with my kids, we're supporting the Chargers in Portland because my brothers took me to video game tournaments that they couldn't even afford to go to the, you know? So it just, once you provide the platform for people to engage in community and sport and culture, and that's what we're all looking for is like, what are we doing there? Right? Like mm-hmm. even nightclubs, what are we doing? We're dancing. Instead of just everyone go and be around people. There's supposed to be something you're doing. And this is just such an accessible something to do. And again, it's around sport. So for sport organizations specifically, it's like, I think it's a can't miss. And interesting that it's at the like Kansas City soccer team, but the bigger clubs and organizations are going to continue figuring this out.
I like that. That's that seems really cool, man. That seems like a good way to get involved with the, especially I think of like seeing how teams and like their social media, like they're starting to get big, you know what I mean? Like with like their social media handles and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I think that it's an exciting thing, especially if we're talking about with the clips and all of that. Like, I don't know. Imagine a team holds a, you know, they own a clip and then they do a raffle or something like that. Like, I don't know. It's exciting, man. It's exciting to think of
how. Right. It's like ways to make content and experiences.
To cherish those experiences.
I'm with it.
I like that, man. Yo, are you guys copping these Adidas Xbox shoes?
You know, if I can, which is it's funny, is there are so many people that are like, yo, Kev, so if I could just, you know, if you can serve me up one of these. And I'm like, yo, honestly, I'm trying to get me a pair. And if I can, they'll be on my shelf right here. I'll be so hyped. I'm very excited about the partnership. I'm happy that I read there. I'm not leaking it if I share that there are more sneakers on the way. J-Boy, you want to read this one?
I mean, damn, yeah, I like the sneakers.
We hear enough of my voice, fam. Go for it.
Yeah.
This link, just scroll down. I'll put the link. I'll send it in the chat, but at the bottom is the, I got all speaker notes.
Yeah. So it looks like Adidas and Xbox are dropping a sneaker to celebrate the console's 20th anniversary here. Coming from Collider. In celebration of reaching 20 years of gaming with Xbox, Microsoft has partnered with Adidas and has announced a brand new Xbox-inspired sneaker. The shoes have translucent green details to resemble the design of the original Xbox, where the first generation of gaming started from Microsoft. According to Microsoft, the design balances nostalgia while embracing modern technology and is symbolic to how we look at our own Xbox history. So,
I'm dumb hyped.
Dumb hype? I like the green.
I'm dumb hyped.
You know?
Yeah, I like the way it looks. Again, it does. It truly pay, if you've seen it, it truly pays homage to that original, like, lime, neon green and black Xbox thing. I didn't have much hope. Again, you guys can imagine, I've been seeing this for a while, like the different iterations. I didn't have much hope, and I truly like this one. It's on that forum model. So, like, that same kind of, like, skate dunk looking shoe that, like, the one Bad Bunny has. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah.
The Bad Bunny Adidas, the Bad Bunnies. I'll show you, but they kind of look like a dunk. But I like. Oh, Anton, you have forums. You know, like the. But yeah. These are like kind of a little bit chunkier forums, like a little bit wider. But you have some of those. Yeah, I'm excited to bring it to life and starting to see Xbox turn the corner. It feels like.
Is there PlayStation shoes? Are those Nike?
There are. Yeah, they're Nike. Mm-hmm. And they're not the same type of partnership. I think, to my knowledge, there's PlayStation shoes with Paul George.
Okay, I was going to say.
Two different Paul ones.
George. Yeah.
Okay. Which actual, like, is tough. Like,
actual public like figures.
It's tough because he's.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's not so much with Nike as it is with an athlete. And then, again, of course, with Travis Scott, right, who's got that, like, loose affiliation. He certainly makes Jordans. They had, like, they kind of cross-promoted it. If you guys remember that picture, he announced his, like, I think they were dunks also. Or, no, they're Jordan Lowe's. He announced his Lowe's with the backwards swoosh coming out, and he had a picture of a PS5, like, 6 months before anybody had one.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yeah.
And then he dropped a merchandise collection that had, like, his inverted PlayStation. So, like, loose, somewhat affiliations, but this seems to be straight up Adidas and Xbox, and that they have a true collab. I think there's some more there, J-Vo.
Yeah, it says James Monosmith, Senior Sales and Marketing Manager from Xbox, writes in the blog post announcing the sneakers, "This is just the beginning of our partnership with Adidas, and over the next few months, we will continue to mark our 20th anniversary by launching additional sneakers inspired by past and present Xbox console generations, including the first sneaker available for purchase by our fans later this year." So does that make Xbox cool?
That's the crazy, like, right? Like, is Xbox cool again? And, like, not even just with the sneakers, just, like, is Xbox starting to become... I feel this way. I think you guys know it. I bought one, but they were so not cool for, like, a decade. Is Xbox becoming cool again?
I don't know,
They did the FaceClan collab. What's that?
I don't know. I feel like they would be cool. I feel like it's the community that makes Xbox not cool, honestly. That, like, teenage toxic community, honestly, is what kind of gives Xbox players a bad rep.
Yeah.
And then, like, also, like, 50... That sounds weird. I was going to say, not that we're not getting older, but also I think of, like... Like, my older brother, like, he's in his mid-40s. I think of my older brothers. Actually, all of them play Xbox. I'm like, yeah, like, my old niggas play Xbox. But that was 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're
trying. I think with the new generation, I feel like I've seen a different community start to embrace it, and the Game Pass thing really carries.
Yeah, it does.
I think Adidas,
that's why I have it.
I think Adidas made the shoe cool more than Xbox did.
Fair. Well, that's part of where I think maybe they're starting to figure it out is, like I said, that that FaceClan collab they did was really cool. We know we have Halo coming out, which, like, it's got a cool nostalgia factor. Like, I haven't played Halo 4, 5, 6. I haven't played any of the Halos in a long time. But for whatever reason, it's like, it's because gaming has become cool again, or has reached, like, critical mass. It's like the nostalgia factor of it makes it cool again. So I want to play Halo again, and that's, like, synonymous with Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, hey, man. Go for them. Hopefully I can get me a pair. As we're speaking of partners here, I just got this Blue Diamond partnered with 100 Thieves, a creator camp. Let me go ahead and get into this. Look at the brands coming together for the gaming culture, bro. I love it. So what is this? Blue Diamond almonds? Y'all mess with almonds?
Come on, fam. You know I do.
I'm not a fan.
Almond milk.
So 100...
bro, almond milk. It's money. I'm black. I'm lactose.
All right. Yeah, you got me there. I do mess with that. But Blue Diamond Almonds and 100 Thieves, which is a gaming team. Let's see. Article says, this exclusive camp experience curated by 100 Thieves of Blue Diamond brought together 16 of media's, this should be social media's, largest streamers, influence, and content creators to team up and compete in challenges involving archery, water relay races, go-kart racing, and more. 100 Thieves content creators also competed in the popular Blue Diamond 28 Extremes Challenge, featuring the brand's most recent product launch, the delicious spicy Blue Diamond Extreme Almonds. The creators just documented the challenges through the behind-the-scenes vlog in 100 Thieves YouTube series. See, that's weird, because the guys I follow, like Nicewig and all them, I had seen them at this at this camp, but I was wondering, like, who was that, Courage and all them? I was wondering what they were doing. I was like, what the heck is this camp that all these dudes are at? So, okay, so it was like this partnership.
Wait, hold up. Is that the thing that Lil Nas X was at, too? Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. I guess it was all a bunch of...
I was just thinking, like, I was like, oh, this, you saw this? Maybe I saw it, too. It says, yeah, this says that they had a 7-episode YouTube series to document this.
Huh.
It's like when you don't think you saw something, and you're like, actually, that did hit my radar a bunch of times, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I was trying to see if there was any other names I recognized here. Nate Shaw, Valkyrie, Too Hype, along another. Okay. Doesn't say any other content creators, but yeah, that should be cool. Okay, yeah, I see here the link for the YouTube series. I'll have to check that out. Follow up on that next week. Yeah, that seems pretty cool, man. I like it. All these different brands coming together.
You know, they found a way to make almonds cool. I'll take it.
I'm here for it. Healthy snacks, bro, while you game. None of them chips.
I didn't think I was into it. Turns out I already saw it. So it worked for me. If Lil Nas X is there, you have my support. He can do no wrong. He's the king of trolls.
No randoms.
I've been going for a little while. I know we can't not at least talk about the Twitch link. So I'll quickly dive into that and see if you guys have any thoughts. Of course, JVO is our king streamer here. But just to dive in,
Twitch.tv, this comes from Mr. video JVO. Games.
There it is. MRJAYVO. The entirety of Twitch has reportedly been leaked. Source codes, user payouts, all of it in a 128 gigabyte torrent. This comes from VideoGamesChronicle.com. An anonymous hacker claims to have leaked the entirety of Twitch, including its source code and user payout information. This user posted a torrent link to 4chan on Wednesday, stating that the leak was intended to foster more disruption and competition in the online video streaming space.
That's because
where the horn's at? Because their community is a disgusting, toxic cesspool. Ooh. He said he got shots fired. He wasn't messing around with them at all.
Yikes.
Internally, Twitch is aware of the breach, the source said, and it's believed...
Bring on the competition.
Internally, Twitch is aware of the breach, the source said, and it's believed that the data was obtained as recently as Monday. One anonymous source told Video Games Chronicle that the leaked data is legitimate, including all of the source code for the Amazon-owned streaming platform. Sounds like Twitch confirmed the leak was authentic, and this leaked data reportedly includes all of their commit history going back just to Twitch's early beginnings, creator payouts reporting from 2019, mobile, desktop, and console Twitch clients, proprietary SDKs, and internal Amazon Web Services used by Twitch. Every other property that Twitch owns, that's in quotes, including IGDB and CurseForge, an unreleased Steam competitor named Vapor, oh, I see what you did there, from Amazon Game Studios, and Twitch internal red teaming tools, also in quotes, designed to improve security by having staff pretend to be hackers. They got caught with all the pants down.
Damn.
Wow. Yikes.
They took everything. They took it all. They said, we airing out all your business.
Hey,
it sounds like it's rocking them.
Streamer's about to get paid.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, there was big fallout from this that, like, you know, rippled through. I know, like, Nick Merckx was way up there.
Yeah, he was, like, the second or third.
And I saw this cool thing. Yeah, I think he was, like, number two, and he had just extended his deal. He's getting paid everywhere. He signed to Under Armour and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But do you guys know Pokimane?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like a big fan of the OG streamers. So like I sing Poki's praises like all over the business world. And so she was kind of hyped. She was like vindicated because she was not on the list.
Yeah.
And she was like, ha, like, fuck you guys. Now you can finally stop hating me all the time. Like, cause she catches so much. And you know, it's also just a different environment for women on the internet and in streaming. Mm-hmm. So she catches all this hate for like taking all the sub money and like taking money from simps and like all this, like you don't deserve it. Like, where's your talents and all these things? And she's like, I stopped, like I capped my submissions or I capped my subs and my donations years ago. It's like, I'm not even making money. Like, keep your money and give it to other up and coming streamers. I make enough money from my brand deals and my organizations and the business that I do that I'm here about the community. Like this, I'm here you guys and pick up the right. So again, so for some, it was like, you know, there was some hate coming for how much overinflated money they felt like they were getting. But for some others, it was kind of a good thing, you know, to get the information down and kind of be clear.
I wonder for people that don't like those top streamers, how that could affect their streams. You know what I mean? Like, these dudes are making like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. When you get to see the dollar amount to the person that you're watching, and like, I don't know what kind of effect that would have. Yeah, like what that would effect on have as a viewer to know that like you're contributing or,
like, why not donate $20? This dude just made $6 million in the last.
Yeah, and I'm over here giving my little funky ass $20
just to get a shout out or something. You know,
hey, Mr. Jave, appreciate the donation. You know what I mean? To get a little one line sentence and I'm a clip and what? Try to sell it to it as an NFT. I mean, but like, yeah.
Yo, I'm on the other side. If you earned it, you earned it.
Which is dope.
Pay for it. Like,
you
don't
want
to watch me, they're like, yo, it's 20 million niggas here because I'm 20 million dope. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. I just wonder if it affects the viewer.
Yeah.
You're saying that, Kev, just made me think we should do a deep dive on, like, some of the top streamers and, like, where they came from and stuff like that. Because you saying that made me think of, what's his name, PewDiePie? Bro, I'm gonna get slayed by the gaming community just because I honestly don't even really know who that is. But that dude, he's like one of the biggest streamers like of all time.
Oh, the OG YouTube community is nut. I have to have my boy Randy shout out. I won't be surprised if you're listening, actually, because you're the man. Randy's he used to come to, so when I was starting like gaming at Adidas, he would come to the campus and just tell me about. I'd be like, all right, so tell me about PewDiePie. Who's this guy? And he would just school me up on like, this is the guy you gotta know. So he's fantastic. I'll have him come for the deep dive, but okay. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
we were saying
cool.
We should do teams, but like we should do Optic and FaZe, but we should definitely also do like Tim and Dr. Disrespect and Pokey. That would be really cool. Great idea.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, Stitch is on the come up, and I think it's also, you know, maybe final point, but if I'm a young person who's in the, again, as we're learning how much we can create value from our content, from our moments, from our ideas, from our intellectual property, this IP. If I'm a young person learning how the world works now, and I see how much money you can make on Twitch from just Twitch, that also motivates the hell out of me. I'm like, could you imagine that? Like when you see the NFL players getting a new deal, you suit up your cleats, you go to practice, you want to play even harder. I want that money. So I do think it also puts a little carrot out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely did to your boy. Because, yeah, when I seen that, I was like, yo, like, even one of the people that I thought would be making big bucks were, like, at the bottom. And in a way, that just made me feel a little bit more motivated. Like, what? Like, my man, you know, Shrewd is making, like, X amount. I'm thinking my dude's, like, one of the top ones. He's, like, what, not doing 25? Out of 50?
That's pretty high. But
yeah,
keep
still,
in mind, too, that these guys have big deals, like...
Oh,
and they have
the other,
like, you know,
yeah.
They can get, this is just the money they get from
Twitch.
Twitch.
Right?
Yeah. It's just like when you look at like LeBron, like his, how much money he's made from the league versus like how much money, like he's made more money from Nike than he's made from the NBA, like from player checks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And this is over
it's
the past 2 years, right?
Yeah.
But
again, this
is
just their
monthly.
Money. Like this is just,
like, nah.
This is just like game checks. They're just like league checks. So we don't get to see anything they get from any of the brands or
endorsements.
And again, they have they're not just endorsed by like Nike. They're endorsed by like Lenovo and like Samsung.
Yeah,
money.
LG. Right.
It's a hard.
Oh God.
Like, you know how rare it is to buy a pair of sneakers for $500. You know how common it is to buy a computer for $500. Like they're selling. They're selling over there. They got money.
Trying to get sponsored by SteelSeries.
Bro, you know what? Let's keep putting this work in. There's some other good gaming topics. We'll cut to another couple more. I think we have a few more if you want to go over. But we got all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, I lied. I totally lied. You guys see number 3? Someone want to take swag for me?
Swag hosts on the NFL Twitch. Let me see this.
Yeah, hit that headline first where it says HL, and then fly through that.
Yeah, you want me to take an answer?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so this is pretty funny because this is literally what we kind of spoke about a couple weeks ago about being able to watch football with someone you might care about, right? And the experience. So looks like here Swag got to host NFL on Thursday night for a Thursday night football via Twitch. This past Thursday, FaZe Swag announced he signed a deal to broadcast NFL Thursday Night Football weekly for at least this season. This is coming.
So this is exciting. Like this, like you said, we talked before. Well, just quickly to jump in. Like you were saying, we talked about this before, right? Like how easy and why not just like turn it on, right? And we talked about like the Fight Companion thing, and that's difficult. You have to kind of line it up, and it's kind of bootlegging the system, but that's what we were just saying is like, they're going to figure this out. And why would I be stuck? Just like they're doing with the Mannings. Mm-hmm. Why would I be stuck listening with, you know, whoever Joe Schmo when I could be listening with somebody that that resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was really cool is when we looked into that, we found out it's not just Swag.
No.
So, right? Go ahead, Javo. Take
oh,
it away.
No, no, no. It's not. Even Big Cheese, that's another guy I follow with Nappy Boy Gaming. He got to host that game. So, coming from Dexerto, during a Twitch stream on October 5th, Madden streamer S. Vaughn announced the deal he struck with NFL and provided some insight into what his schedule will be looking like moving forward. I got the Thursday Night Football deal, so I didn't say that yet. Every Thursday, we're going to be doing Thursday Night Football deal. Yeah, so finally it's happening after 3 years. Yes, for real, he said. Which is, who is this? This is S-Fand. S-Fand? I'm unfamiliar with S-Fand. Are you guys...
Same.
Yeah, same? Mm-hmm. But he also will be streaming, it looks like, or watching football. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. The deal comes as a shock, as it will have been difficult to get the rights to... I'm going to start this over. The deal comes as a shock, as it will have been difficult to give the rights to live view the game in negotiations with the league. S-Fan clarified his new schedule, saying he'll be doing a football show. Let's go! Football on Twitch on Tuesdays. Then Thursdays, we'll be streaming Madden 22 into watching the Thursday NFL game of the week. In regards to region lock for viewers in varying locations, the Twitch star said, I don't know what all the details are, it might be. So S-Fan is sitting here and letting his guys know what's happening. Like he announced this live on his stream on October 5th, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, right. And so and it sounds like you said Big G. So it sounds like yeah. The NFL, they did the smart thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, again, why choose one commentator when you could choose one commentator for every community? Mm-hmm. And so FaZe Swag is the one that's in my community. So mm-hmm. I saw this and like, of course they did. They got Swag. He's the man. He just did James Bond with Billie Eilish this week. Mm-hmm. But then of course they didn't go with just one. And I genuinely have no idea how many, like we just found out three at least. It sounds like they have a squad.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. Again, they're using their IP. They already own Thursday Night Football. They're already trying to get people to watch it. But now they're able to go and snag these communities that, again, I might not even necessarily be watching the Thursday night game because maybe it's two teams I don't care about. But now because I'm here gaming, I'm watching the game. And I wonder how or if that counts into their viewership. Either way, this is great. Like, this is really special. And they're figuring, like, what is there to cap it from doing this for all sports all the time?
Mm-hmm.
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 It might really change the way we enjoy sports, but I'm hyped. And I mean,
I'm a huge fan of the Eli on Monday night.
As long as
my boys aren't playing, I'll watch every other team with the Eli brothers. Because just to watch, like, Eli Manning, not even, I'm sorry, excuse me, watching Peyton. Eli got a different look. The boy got
just
mouth all wide.
Eli.
But when you're watching Peyton try to have a conversation, but you can see in that man's eyes, like, how much calculation is happening from him just watching football. Like, this dude is, like, breaking down every aspect of the game, and you can just see it by the look on his face. Mm-hmm. And delivering that to us as we're watching. And it's like,
special
it just
insight.
It hits different, man. When you're getting that insight, you're right, from somebody that's like a master at this game, type of craft he has. And so this is huge, bro. This is huge. You know, I don't know how,
well, I think
I'm curious to know how that stream went for FaZe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, it looks like they're doing it. Like, on the bright side, it looks like they're doing it for the season, right? So we'll have a chance to catch a few of them and start to kind of, you know, dig around and see how they drive it or how it develops. But I think it's going to go really great. You know, I think instantly of, like Brandon Marshall and that I Am Athlete crew. Man, if I could watch games with them, that would be hilarious.
Whoa,
like,
they're
so funny.
Yes.
Right?
Maybe
you can't put them on ESPN2 like they can Peyton and Eli, because everyone knows Peyton and Eli. But, hey, y'all, just turn on your YouTube channel. Go on. Brandon, go on Twitch. I will watch every game with Brandon Marshall and the I Am Athlete squad, because they're hilarious.
Right.
Got to get it figured out. Yeah. We'll get there.
That's awesome.
I think that's all the topics we got this week, y'all.
That was good, man.
That was a good one.
I can imagine.
We was.
You, was your boys about to get online?
No.
I think we should.
Talking about all this creating, dog. Let's start creating. Me.
Nigga, who wants smoke me? I'll see y'all in the content creation on the side. Me. Yeah. Who wants smoke me? Nigga, who wants smoke me? No, we're good.